desire to draw your attention to a text recorded in the book of the prophecy of Jonah, the second chapter and verses 8 and 9. The second chapter in the prophecy of Jonah, verses 8 and 9. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I must freely confess, friends, that I know not how to open the text before us. Yet I do believe that it has been laid on my mind to speak from it. And our dependence upon the Lord is therefore very great. May He guide us and open His words to us. The prophet Jonah, as you well know, has fled. Rather desired he to go to Tarshish than to do what God has bid him to do. God, who is a sovereign, has taught him and teaches in this way, for I believe the case is left on record purposely for the instruction not only of the Lord's servants but of all the Lord's people for their instruction. Now you see, the Lord has taught Jonah that his decrees cannot be crossed, cannot be laid aside, that his appointments, his wise decrees must be performed. They are often performed in a most miraculous and wonderful way. And our God often brings good out of that bad and out of that which seems ever so wrong to our eyes. So we see in the first chapter that the Lord has used the flight of Jonah to the instruction and preaching of the truth to the mariners. And in our chapter, we have read how the Lord has instructed Jonah in many things. And the Lord Jesus refers to Jonah and in the Gospels, we speak of that only sign which shall be given to the generation of that time. Anyhow, my dear friends, we have to look to some of the matters that the prophet was taught. And one of them is that what he so expresses in our text, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. This may seem a very strange language from one who has disobeyed God. That may seem very strange language from a person who has fled from the presence of his God and turned his back upon his commandment. But the merciful thing in it is that he was told the truth of what he said. It was nothing that he has heard from others. It was nothing that he has read in the books. It was nothing of what he was instructed in, taught by the passing of a word from man to man tradition. This is something what he was most solemnly taught for himself. And it is something, my dear friends, which I believe the Lord's people at all times, at times learn very bitterly. What I mean is this. In a rather difficult way, which causes them to learn it the hard way, that they may learn it well. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now we have very briefly noticed this, that this truth compasses every man, both a man that are profane, man who possess a form of godliness, and also it compasses a man who, through and by the grace of God, are made possessors of a divine life. You may perhaps say, surely one would not find the latter to come under the same. But we shall first then observe the wicked. You see, the wicked observes lying vanities. His very heart is filled with them. His mind, his whole nature, his flesh, they are all subservient to it. The empty professor perhaps has his outward a little bit polished, but his heart is just the same. He knows nothing of his heart being broken up, his fallow ground being under the operation of the Holy Ghost broken, and the stones gathered out of the way. No, he knows nothing of divine teaching that he is a lost sinner. And one of the character that has found grace and favor in the sight of God. By nature, he is as much a child of the devil as the profane and the professor. By nature, they have a wicked heart, heart that is desperately wicked, in which they learn a little here and little there how desperate it is indeed. Now, my dear friends, the mercy is that the elect vessels of mercy are stopped in their way in the appointed time and way, God, the Holy Ghost begins to deal with them, and they are brought under the law, brought under condemnation. They are brought into a straight path. Yea, they are awakened and made alive. They are made to cry, "Give me Christ, or else I die." Now you see, these people have Jesus in them. Now, the living principle of grace, new living principle as it is deposited in their souls. They are partakers of divine life, not through their own marriage, no, but through the marriage, blood and righteousness of that great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom you have sung that his sacrifice, yea, his precious blood so exceeds, yea, his much nobler sacrifice than all the sacrifices offered on Jewish altars. Precious, invaluable blood of the Son of God was shed by him who alone can pay the uttermost might of the debt of the church. I liked those lines there in that hymn, "Deep in his breast and grave he bore our names with every penal score. When pressed to earth, he prostrate lay, shocked at the sum? Have you been shocked at the sum? Were you all shocked at the sum, yet prompt to pay? And when the sword of justice demanded payment from his heart, he denied it not, but paid every drop of his vital blood. Now you see, through these merits of this precious Redeemer, of this great High Priest, after the order of Melchizedek, that his people are partakers of divine life, for they are his brethren. They are made by his blood nigh unto God. They are redeemed. They are his brethren. Now, we must come to that, what our text speaks of. To the, the empty professor and to the profane, lying vanities are sweet. They observe them freely. They are not troubled with them. Yea, they indulge them as much as they can. It's the part of their natural life. But for a child of God, my dear friends, those lying vanities are great snare, and they shun them. They are much afraid to be left to self, to their foolish understanding, to their natural carnal knowledge, that they might not be trapped by any one of them. But I want to go a little further in noticing what those lying vanities are. If we look into the Old Testament, we observe plainly that the heathenish gods were thus named. God has spoken of them as lying vanities who cannot help, who are dumb, who are but stalks, who are dead. Perhaps you will say, this was in the time of old Israel, and do you think that times have changed much? Oh, there are many lying vanities of this sort in the world, and I but point to some which are very near and close. You know the measure of vestments passed in our parliament is made another step toward these lying vanities being brought into our established church. to perish, a piece of wood, or a piece of stone, or a piece of iron, are laid over with silver or gold, and say to them, these be thy gods. Oh, what wretchedness at all compare God with an image. How God dishonoring, and I am rather afraid that this is the beginning, an inroad by which images which shall be worshipped shall be brought into the establishment. But leaving this, we must observe that there are lying vanities, my dear friends, in doctrines, and lying vanities also in practice. And just very briefly, let me mention one or two. The lying vanity in doctrine, that doctrine of Unitarianism, the doctrine of free will, the doctrine of perfection in flesh, how and what lying vanities these are. And I feel I must warn you before that. The doctrine of Unitarianism, wherein these people, throne the gods and your son from his rightful place and position as the co-equal, co-eternal son of the eternal Father, and co-equal and co-eternal with the Holy Ghost that proceeds from the Father and from his Son, Jesus Christ. For mark this, my dear friends, that if the Lord Jesus is not the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, and that means, as the description of him is, without beginning and without end, if he is not the co-equal son with the Father from all eternity, then your hope is in vain. For nothing can satisfy the broken law, nothing can satisfy the offended justice of God, but the blood of Christ, the blood of God's fellow, the blood of him of whom the Lord God has declared that he was brought up with him, that he was with him from all eternity. of the Lord Jesus then as not being the Son of God. Then every hope is lost. But blessed be God, and the Lord Jesus is He, and that He received the testimony that there are those witnesses. Those witnessings that have been heard. This is my dear Son in whom I am well pleased. And again, this is my dear Son, for obey Him. Now, the second lying vanity is this, the free will. I should have perhaps mentioned the idea which was behind the lying vanity being laid up in the last century or so by Satan. You see that notion of ecumenism is nothing new, and that was behind that idea of unitarism. That they hoped that there would be uniting with the Jews, with the Muslims, with everybody. Oh, what foolish, foolish, lying vanity and foolish creature that are trapped by that. And then the doctrine of creatures' righteousness, creatures' free will. I trust there is none among you, my dear hearers, that are troubled with it. And that you realize solemnly that truth declared in the Word of God, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. The lot is cast into the lap by the Holy Spirit. Disposing thereof is of God. Yes, and us and the power, the wisdom, and the sovereignty of God is here at stake. And if man denies that, he is soon on a wrong and sandy ground. The doctrine of creature righteousness, creature's perfection, I hope that you understand what Satan pretends in it, that you can grow better, improve yourself, and so much so that in the end, because of your good work, good behavior, God will accept you as a child in heaven. Oh, what a lying thing it is. It is complete lie, for it is deceitful and deceiving, and it would deceive the very elect if Satan was permitted to trap them with it. But I know that at times the children of God may toil under them too. They may think that they can improve a little here and little there, and that they will grow better and will be more acceptable in the sight of God. No, my dear friends, you never will. But it is a mercy if you are taught and a complete depravity and lost and ruined condition of your soul and your total dependence upon God's free mercy and that blood which did for sin once at home. I will just briefly mention some of the lying vanities in practice. And I would warn you before them, for they are very easily overcoming. You see, Satan, first of all, suggests more charity. You must love everyone. Is that not the commandment of God, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves? And he comes and says, and how can you and how do you love God if you declare of him that he is not a child of God? Now, you see, and I'm speaking here to you as church, we must be very careful about this matter. And only where there are evidences, where those people can give good ground of their hope in God's mercy, when they can testify, open their mouth and say, come, ye blessed of the Lord, and I will tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. Only where that testimony comes forth, you can walk together and acknowledge as such and rightly so as your brethren. The lying vanity is humanitarianism. It is that being charitable more than God. Oh, my dear friends, our practice must be walk in the Word of God and to walk in accordance with it in our church order at all. And then complete salvation. Not only the salvation wrought on the cross, but also the communication, the application of it to the soul that is whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is quickened and is brought into deep distress on account of that wretched thing that it finds within the past. Salvation is of the Lord. Free salvation, full salvation, without price and without money, freely given. And when that salvation is experienced, when the Lord bestows it upon a heartbroken sinner, there is, my dear friends, the going out of that soul, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. There is paying of the curse of the lips unto the Lord. There is sacrifice of praise unto him who had bled and died to redeem, to save to the uttermost. And there is also this, what we read, I will pay that I have vowed. When the soul is in deep trouble, deep exercise, when it is groaning under the load and misery of sin, when it is in that awful place of condemnation, when that soul feels that hell itself will open its mouth and swallow so there is, I believe, crying, going out, cry, lamentation, going out unto the Lord God. Save me for thy mercy's sake. I cannot let thee go except thou bless me, except thou pluck me out of this bottomless pit. I must perish for ever and ever. And you know, in that deep distress, the soul often vows the Lord, and those vows are these: Lord, if thou save me, I will be thine, and will walk in thy ways and in thy precepts. That soul then, being delivered, is brought to it, I will pay that I have vowed. I will walk in thy ways, I will walk in thy precepts, I will walk in the ordinances of the gospel tone. someone who has made vows unto God. I don't know what they may be. They may be in this or that respect. They may be also concerning the ordinance of baptism and concerning the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I will pay that I have vowed. So that receives mercy, that has evidences of God's undertaking, and so experience salvation from the Lord, that soul may justly and rightly, and is bound to it, to perform their vows, to walk humbly before God, and obey His command. That command is in respect of the ordinance of baptism, let us fulfill all righteousness. And in respect of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me. Well, I see the time is gone. I haven't got anywhere in my text. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. My dear friends, seek to be delivered from them. No doubt there are others which Satan will bring before you, but your God is a faithful God, strong, mighty to deliver, and Satan is a conquered enemy. And when you know and have felt and tasted of the salvation of the Lord, do remember that what Jonah was led to say, but I will sacrifice unto the Lord, unto thee, with the voice of thanksgiving. May, and I believe that those who receive mercy are never like those who were healed and have gone away, and only one has come to return thanks. I will pay that I have vowed. I believe that they that do such honor God and receive answers of a good conscience in it. On the other hand, our God despises those who make vows and pay not. I have to leave it here. May the Lord pardon anything that has been amiss. Amen.